This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Well, regulators, investigators, they would love to see what's wrong with the Boeing 787 Dreamliner as they continue their investigations. And here to help us understand what's going on, we have Ray Neidel, independent aviation analyst, joining us in the studio. Ray, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. What's the sort of steps that are taking place right now in terms of the investigation? What can we expect to hear?
Well, I'm not a aeronautical engineer, so I don't know all the technical problems that are going on. I'm assuming every expert in the world now is looking at it, from regulators to Boeing to their subcontractors. And the scary thing is nobody has identified what the real problem is. They suspect what it might be, but they can't fix it until they absolutely identify what the problem is. Now, how long is that going to take? We don't know. My guess is they'll come up with something fairly quick. It's that important. But if they can't, if this drags on, then we do have more concerns.
Boeing has already come out and said that they are not halting production of the 787 Dreamliner. Does this mean that they're going to have to retrofit some kind of fix into each plane that comes off the line?
Well, again, it depends what the fix is and how long it takes. If this investigation keeps going on, at some point they will have to slow down or halt production. But let's assume that they do find what the problem is. It depends what the problem is and what the fix is. But nevertheless, some kind of modification, I'm guessing, as a non-engineer, will have to be made to all aircraft.
Ray, we're in the third week now, and I know, you know, 3 weeks ago, you, among others, were saying speed is pretty crucial here for Boeing. If this drags on and on and on, does it incrementally affect the stock?
I imagine it will. Basically, investors are giving Boeing credit now for the aircraft and being able to solve the problem. If it does drag on, you'll have less faith probably, and you will probably see some people selling the stock off. And again, it depends if they can, once they can identify the problem, they can fix it. They can't fix it until they know what the problem is.
Ray Neidel, you talked about faith. I'm wondering if you have faith. Would you fly on a Boeing 787 Dreamliner?
Well, thank goodness they're not flying, so I have to
not
make
now.
That choice.
But I mean, if, you know, based on the sort of situation, is it working? Is the program working in terms of keeping the aircraft out of the sky?
I think once they identify the problem and fix it, it will be fine to fly. I mean, the regulators, including the FAA, are not going to let this thing fly unless they're absolutely certain, because if something happens afterwards, it would be a real problem. So once they give it the okay, I don't think it'll be a problem flying it.
If it's a battery issue, can it fly without that battery?
Well, I talked to some technical people on that, and they have faith in the battery. It's been tested in the military. But if they have to go back to the old-fashioned batteries, then you're going to have the plane grounded for a much longer period than we thought. I don't think it's going to come to that. But the thing is, the plane will fly. It's a question of if it's the battery and what the fix is.
Ray Neidel, AMR, American Airlines, U.S. Airways. We're going to end up with one airline?
At this point, it looks more and more likely that we're going to have a merger before American exits the bankruptcy. I always said it was going to happen either before or after the bankruptcy. It's looking more likely. I think the big thing is the unsecured creditors have to make the final decision of where they can get their best value. But at this point now, from publicly released reports and news articles, it appears that if they can get Tom Horton, the CEO of American, on board, it probably will go through. I don't think he will be the one to run the airline. I think Doug Parker from U.S. Airways very much wants to do that. But it's a matter of satisfying Tom, and it appears that there's a high chance, if that's done, that the merger will happen sooner rather than later.
What's holding up the merger?
Well, basically, they're going over the due diligence of for the unsecured creditors at American of where would they get the greatest value. And they ultimately will go in the direction of what they think is best for them. And it would be a value up front, because typically creditors in a bankruptcy don't hold on to the stock afterwards. So they're not looking real long term. They're looking at where they can get the value up front.
Is there a point at which consolidation starts to hurt consumers?
It helps the industry. this will be the last big major merger in the U.S. You'll be down to three big carriers plus four or five what I call fringe carriers, which are good size, like Alaska, Hawaiian, that serves niche type of markets. And I think that industry will produce consistent profitability for the airlines, benefiting the investors, which you need, but also long-term will provide better service for consumers. The prices will come up because airlines do have to get a return on their investment, and this is the best way of doing it.
Speaking of prices, you mentioned loads at the moment are pretty high.
Loads are consistently high. And airlines will keep loads high. And if, say if we were to go into a major recession, airlines would discount to keep the seats filled. But the yield management systems are so sophisticated that they will keep loads high no matter what.
Well, Vani, I know that you were on a plane recently. I mean, was
three
the
of them
plane
pin.
Three of them? Okay, was the plane full?
Yes, it was. Coming back, it was. Yep. This was a trip to Miami, and two planes on the way down, both were full, and one on the way back was full, yeah.
Yeah, load factors are a given. The key thing to watch is what the yields are.
I mean, how much people actually pay.
What they pay per revenue passenger mile. And also, on the other side of the equation, which airlines are doing a much better job now, is the costs.
Why has consolidation taken so long in the United States, right?
That is an unbelievable question. It's been over 30 years since deregulation, probably because of regulators, politicians, people wanting to keep flights in their own districts and so forth. So it's been a very slow process. But no, also you have to blame airline management. You had a airline management mentality that went for market share and not for profits. And that's changed now in the business. The guys running the airlines now are very bottom line oriented.
Why did they go for market share? Was it because the people that ran the airlines were the ones that got the benefits?
No, it was because that was in their blood. Since the very beginning, well, the industry was regulated, you wanted market share. That was the key thing. And you had a bunch of market share marketing guys running the carriers. You got hard-nosed finance people running the airlines. But then at the same time, they realize that to get the business frequent flyer, they have to do good marketing and good service.
Well, that's the other thing. They push credit cards a lot. They all have tie-ups with credit cards. What do they get out of each credit card that they sell?
Well, I wrote a book I co-authored a book about 20 years ago and made a lot of predictions. And my predictions have all come true except for one. I predicted the frequent flyer programs would wither and die. It did just the opposite. They're now more in desire than ever. And the reason why they did that was banks are buying the miles. And it's a huge profit center for airlines with the banks buying these miles. And that's what has sustained these programs. But the other things for the airlines that I predicted, automation, people going around travel agencies, booking by computer. Not that I had a lot of HGL's foresight, but all these items I did predict in cutting costs. And ultimately, I predicted the virtual airline, and we continue to move in that direction.
I was just going to say really quickly your predictions for the next 20 years.
Well, the thing is, I think you're going to see more and more outsourcing. I don't think you'll quite get to the point where you outsource pilots. But the thing is, airlines will do what they do best and outsource as much as they can.
Best airline stock right now?
Well, I'm not making predictions right now as an independent analyst, but Delta among the big airlines is really, really attractive. And then among the so-called niche carriers, Copa and Alaska Airlines continue to hit the cover off the ball.
I want to thank you very much. Ray Neidel joining us, independent aviation analyst.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.